don't you go find somebody in the church, in here, they haven't talked to you for a while. Maybe it's a new face to you. If you're new this morning, welcome. I hope this doesn't scare you. Introverts, it's okay if you stay in your seat. Extroverts, go find the introverts and love on them, okay? This is what I'm going to ask you to do. Find a hand, find somebody that you can hug this morning. Find somebody that you can go and ask them, have you seen God work this week? Have you seen God work this week? The other question I want you to ask is, how can I personally be praying for you? All right? Church, go do that. Church, don't listen to me. Those who are online right now, that is at home listening, this is what I'm going to ask you to do. Text somebody that you haven't texted in a while. Give them a call right now. Let them know that you love them, that you're thinking of them, and that you're praying for them. You know, also leave a comment on how we can be praying for you. Introducing yourself, maybe getting to know the person even a little bit better, but now you have direction, I hope, this morning, of where God is going to lead you to pray. All right. And so I want to open the altars at this time. I want to open the place that, where you're sitting. If you want to stand before God, if you feel led to just kneel before God, this is the time to do it. But I also charge you with the thought process of we didn't just shake hands just to shake hands. We're becoming the church that God has desired us to become, and that means we carry each other's burdens and our successes. We see how God is working together, and we lift up God as one. One body that praises God. And we don't do this alone. So that's why we came together and we shook hands. It was great to hear. To me, this is what God is celebrating, hearing all those voices, hearing the talking, hearing the seeing how you guys engaged with each other in just this moment. God celebrates in that. And now we get to bring these petitions of each other, knowing that we're not in this battle alone. All right, so let's close our eyes. Let's bring our attention to God and listen to God. Let's know that we're not in this alone, that we have brothers and sisters that love us, that pray for us, that care about us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we turn to you. Lord, I pray that we have those moments where your face shines down on us and we just feel your warmth embracing us. That we're consumed by your love, your patience, your kindness. That everything that comes out of us is you. Lord, I pray as we went around and shook each other's hands, as we maybe sat at home listening, that we reached out to somebody that we haven't touched in a while, that we loved on them, and that we are engaging with the people that you've called us to engage together in life. Lord, I pray that nobody here or at home feels alone. That they know that you love them, that you're right beside them, that you carry their burdens and their worries and their concerns and their heartaches and their health in your hands. Lord, I pray that we continue to trust you with every step that we take, that we have faith in you and that we say yes to you when you lead us. We lift up those prayer requests that we heard. We also lift up those praises of where you've been working in our lives. I pray that this week that we take those conversations that we had just a couple minutes ago and that we carry them with us and that we pray for those faces that we saw this morning. Lord, may we continue to become the church that you've called us to be. We love you, Lord. We love you because you loved us first. You sent your Son for us. I pray that our life can be one of thanksgiving to you. Lord, as we give our tithes this morning, I pray that we give it with a joyful heart. That we give knowing that it goes towards your ministry, towards your mission, and that we have the opportunity to be a part of it. May you just bless this offering. We do this in your name only. Amen. You may see, ushers are going to come and take off.
Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only.
Man, God is good. And I hope you know that. And I hope you've seen that this week. I hope God has been really working on you. I hope that you've had moments to reflect this last week of how he has called you to be his disciple. You personally. Like he's put your name in that moment and says, you are my disciple. Will you follow me? Last week, we kind of talked about that. Right? And this desire of, or not desire, but this knowing that we're called, but we have this tendency to be called like Jonah. And we're reluctant, and we don't want to give the message of hope, but when we do, we yell it. We let people know, well, you should change. And like do that little poke in their chest. Anybody ever have that poke in their chest? How do you react to that poke in the chest? Is it good? Anybody else want to take that finger and just snap it? Just me? Okay, I need Jesus. I know it. All right. But it's never a good thing to sit there and poke somebody in the chest and tell them, you need this, you need to change, you need to do this. It doesn't work the way God really has designed it to work. Now, did it work through Jonah? Yes. Did they change? Yes. Was he grateful for it? No. Right? And that's the heart of the issue, right? We have been called to be neighbors, and we've talked about what it means to be a neighbor, if you remember, right? And we're going to talk about this morning becoming a neighborhood. Before that, I want to remind us, being a neighbor is an action, not a location, not proximity. We learned this from the Samaritan story. We had the two people walk by, and they didn't look at them. They were neighbors in that moment, but they didn't act out the neighborly thing that God has told him. And, right? And Jesus is telling the lawyer that's sitting there before him, and he asked him a simple question. Who was the neighbor? The third one that walked by, which was the Samaritan, who acted like he loved him and did the sacrificing for the one that was dirty and beaten and ugly and hurting and had to take his time out of his day. I guarantee he probably had something else to be doing at that moment and saw nothing else mattered anymore. His plans didn't matter anymore because a person who is created by God, loved by God, and called by us to act as his neighbor. So he stopped and he took care of him. So, remind you, to be a neighbor, to love your neighbor, is not by proximity, it's by action. Right? It's by action. The next one is, a neighbor is a calling, not a yelling, right? Being a neighbor is a calling. We are called what? Anybody? To love our neighbor. That's right, as ourselves. To love God. Like, if you look at this commandment that was asked early on in Scripture, what are these things? What's the most important one? And it gets summed up in this two-sentence phrase. Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And you cannot take this next phrase without saying this phrase. Like, it just doesn't work, right? You can have water, but it doesn't mean anything like to have water without a cup if you're thirsty, right? This is the same thing. To love God with your heart, mind, and soul means to also love your neighbor as yourself, right? Things that we are easy to say, but get so complicated because we put our own little hurdles in the way of it, our own boundaries in the way of it. We even ask God, well, if you change them before we come to them, then I'll be good with it. It's not how God works. God wants to use you to be the catalyst for people's lives to be transformed for his love. And when we don't do that, guess what we're doing? Disobeying, which is what? Sin. When we disobey God, we sin. We outright say no to him. They need to change first. And he didn't do that with us. When I came into these walls, when I came into this moment with God, he didn't require me to be different when I came into a relationship with me. I wanted to become different because of what he did for me. And our hearts and our minds need to adjust to that when we look at other people in this world that are our neighbors. There's a lot of people, I guarantee, that you know that are hurting, that you know are not living right, that you know if they only knew Jesus, if they only had him, and Jesus saying, if only you took me to them. It's a calling. And I'm going to tell you, every relationship that comes to Christ is different, and it's unique, and it's amazing, and it's an awesome story, and you get to be a participant in it if you say yes. And I'll tell you, the moments in my life, in my career of being a pastor, the best moments are the moments that people have been led to the Lord and said yes, and it's never been because of anything that I've ever said. It's because the Holy Spirit has been moving in their life, and I was an active participant in that because I had been praying about it, praying to be a part of it. And I had a couple options. It could be uncomfortable that I would have to confront because God has called me to confront some issues. But guess what I had to do before that? I had to establish a relationship. I had to get down and get dirty with the neighbor. I had to be willing to be where he was at, which in this story, the other reason the two other people passed by is they didn't want to get dirty because it was sinful to them. And Jesus is telling us in this story that it's not sinful to get down to where they're at. It's sinful that you pass up and don't love them and show them grace and get them healthy. And with his power, if we get dirt on us, if we get sinful, guess what? His grace is sufficient. He's awesome. So in the story of Jonah, it's not about a whale. It's about a heart that was reluctant to follow the calling that God has called him to do. And God saw these group of people as so much more important than his anger and his frustration with Jonah, that he continued to go with Jonah and say, all right, you're still going to give this message. I don't care. I'll take a whale and I'll swallow you up and I'll spit you out and be where I've called you to be to share my message of hope. I feel like I want to pray this for not just our church, but our church. That we've got to stop being so reluctant to share his grace and mercy and salvation and redemption, that we've got to stop putting these walls up between us and this world and realize God has already knocked down those walls and said, come and be here where I've called you to be. Right? All right, so becoming the neighborhood. I started thinking about what it looks like to be in a neighborhood and what makes a good neighbor. I think everybody else, we have a variety of opinions, and it kind of means where you're from and where you've been kind of deal. I've been in quite a few different neighborhoods, and you've had your ones that are like, if you're a really quiet neighbor and respectful and you mow your lawn, you're a good neighbor on a regular basis, right? I'm in a neighborhood right now. If we know each other's names and we walk by and we wave and we're engaging and, you know, and you're just sharing like common respectful day-to-day interaction saying, hey, how you doing? But there's no really, like, long as you don't pass this line, we're good, right? Anybody else? I've been in neighborhoods, please just pull up in your driveway, shut the garage door, don't ever come out. I don't want to see you. That'd be a great neighbor. There's neighbors who are like, hey, if you're playing your stuff after 10, invite me to be there, or I'm going to be upset, right? There's those kind of neighbors. But every neighborhood is a little bit different. And what makes a great neighbor is our neighborhood is the neighbors, right? That's what makes a good neighborhood. It doesn't depend on whether your grass is gray and cut and green and the, you know, it's up to that inch that it's allowed, you know. HOA is crazy to me, but we do it and there's reason why HOA exists now, right? Or you got 50 cars in somebody's driveway, or not so much driveway, but in their lawn, and it's all suddenly become a lawn ornament. And then it's hard to resell your house, you know, that kind of stuff, right? I want to think about what it means to become a good neighborhood amongst each other. There's a reason why I wanted us to get up and stand up and shake each other's hands and enjoy our time and hear stories of our week. And man, I heard a lot of laughing. It got loud in here, and I loved it. I hope you loved it. I hope it didn't bother you. You know, might have some of our introverts was like, oh, no, I'm never coming back if he keeps this up, right? I understand. That's okay, all right? We might continue to do this. I don't know. We'll see. I'm just the fly-of-your-pants kind of pastor. We'll see, all right? But the reality is this. We got up. We smiled with each other. We asked how we're doing, and I hope that some of us asked, how can I be praying for you? I hope some of us asked, where did you see God working this week? Because those are tough questions. And when you ask them, you cannot be insincere. If I ask you, how can I pray for you? And I walked away and I'm like, okay, how you doing? I did the hi as a Christian, right? How can I be praying for you? And it was like that. Well, my dad has COVID. Okay, well, I'll be praying. Next one. It doesn't work that way when we put God in that, when we say that we're here to be a representative of God. Really, he's got COVID? Is he all right? How can I be praying? At what level is he at? Is he in hospital? How can I take care of your family? Do you need some needs? Does this lawn need to be? Like, it should be engaging from this point on, where all of a sudden I see needs and I see things that need to be taken care of. And as a church family, we are called to do this. And this is how we become a neighborhood that is attractive to the world. We start living out this call that God has called us. And I want to show it in Scripture real quick, all right? This can be found in Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, and to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Okay. This is the early church. This is Acts 2, when the church really started becoming what it looks like sort of today. Why we exist the way we exist is because of Acts 2 and what Jesus Christ did with them, what the Holy Spirit did with them. All right, and the apostles and the disciples were like, hey, this is what we've called to do, all right? And this is what they did. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. What did the apostles teach? About Jesus. About this. They had the Old Testament then. They started teaching about the Word of God, all right? And they started following that. Church, to be the neighborhood that God has called us to be, guess what we need to be in daily? His Word. It guides us. It tells us how to love our neighbor. It tells us and shows us how God has loved us and gives us the inspiration, the calling of how we are to love our brothers and sisters. And you, if you read Scripture and you start to read it, you go, oh my goodness, this is tougher than it looks, because it means I have to put all my wants and my desires aside and look at my neighbor and go, okay, how can I love them today? All right? to be the neighborhood that God has called us. I implore you, if you have your Bible open, underline, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And then underline, fellowship. What do you think fellowship means? What do you think fellowship means? Where you come and just shake a hand? No. It's to be together. To laugh. To hurt. Family. Not just the family that you're born with, the family that you're reborn into. Man, I'm using some churchy words. Reborn means to be, you are found Jesus in your life, and you want him to be the reason that you live. And what was you is reborn into Jesus. All right? And when you're done that, guess what? You're reborn into a family that loves you, hopefully. That fellowships with you. And I will tell you, the best times in my life, I consider, I hate to put the connotation, but the Christian party. I love laughing with my Christian family. I love joking and sitting in around a table. I'll tell you, my funnest time is around a dinner table with my friends and fellow followers of Jesus and joking and just having a great time and seeing what God is doing in their lives. It doesn't always have to be serious. Do you realize that? We don't have to take ourselves serious to be followers of Jesus Christ. Look at Peter. If you read Scripture, he was a goofball. And I think the other disciples sat on the side, what is his problem? Right? He was just excited all the time to follow Jesus to a point like he pulled his sword and knifed an ear off out of his excitement to follow Jesus and defend him. You know, I want to be the neighborhood that comes together and goes, hey, in your excitement, you trounced people for God instead of loved them for God. Let's change this tactic. You see, as a neighborhood, we come along each other and help each other and guide each other with wisdom. There's a lot of you for years in my life that have a lot of wisdom, and guess what you've done with that wisdom? You've held on to it. You haven't shared it. You know why things seem like they're getting dumber? Do you know why? Because what we've done with our wisdom is held on the sideline and go, well, they should be doing this. Can you believe they're doing that? I can't believe they allow that to happen. You know what God has called you to do with your wisdom? Share it. Through all my years growing up in the church, there have been a few saints in my life that have come up to me and shared their wisdom. And I will tell you, some of those moments I took as like criticism, and I had to learn from it. And it wasn't healthy in how I responded, but then there was like moments where God was like, hey, I understand, I don't have all the answers. And I took those nuggets in, and it changed my life, how I follow Jesus. You got wisdom, you better share it. You better share it because you've been called to share it, all right? And a lot of us have a lot of wisdom to share. I do. You have a lot of life experience. If you're not telling this, those who are older, you have wisdom. And there's a lot of people that are sitting in these seats, whether they know it or not, they need that wisdom. They need that engagement. All right? That's fellowship. Breaking of the bread. Breaking of the bread is why we come here on Sunday mornings to do this in remembrance of why we come. Do you understand that? We come here not because we want to sing, we want to be entertained. We don't come here because we need a great sermon. We come here because we break God's bread that symbolizes the moment where he broke his body for us. And we do this in remembrance of that. Nothing else matters when we come together in this moment. This has been called the bread of life. Do you understand that? And when we preach from this, when we talk about this, we are breaking his bread. When we come together, we do this in remembrance of Jesus Christ and how he died for us on the cross. And we celebrate that. We hurt with that. We come to a realization of what that did for us. And it should humble us to our core. That's why we come together. And that makes a great neighborhood. Under that, underline that. And the last thing here I love is prayer. To be a great neighborhood, to be the neighborhood that God has called us to be, we have to be in prayer. We have to be in prayer. If you have not talked to God or listened to God in days, weeks, months, maybe it's been years, it's hard to know what God is calling you to do. It's hard to know that God has called you so many times because you haven't spent time with God. You see, church, I look at it this way. To be a church that is centrally focused around prayer is knowing what God's direction for us and we are satisfied with it because we understand it. We surround ourselves with it. To be a church that is not in prayer, we are always unsatisfied. We're always frustrated, and we feel like things are not getting done. You see, church, when we're in prayer, we know the source of all great things come from. The moments I act on prayer are the moments God has been using us and you and me to glorify his kingdom. Without prayer, we are lost and we're wandering through this world going, where do you want me? What do you want? You can't use me. And he will say, yes, I can't because you haven't been meeting with me. I look at it this way. I kind of talked about this in the past. If you have a relationship with somebody and they live in your home and you guys don't talk, do you really have a relationship? You may walk out and be like, yeah, I know that person. But if you haven't communicated in days, weeks, months, but you're just around each other. This is, again, love is, to be a neighbor is to have action. It is important to communicate with people to have a relationship, right? The same thing goes with God. Yes, he knows everything about you, but the reality is he wants you to know everything about him. And he wants to reveal that in prayer. All right, I want to talk about what it looks like to be a bad neighborhood real quick, all right? And I don't like doing that stuff, but you can find this in Matthew, all right? Matthew 18, 15 through 17, all right? This is kind of what Jesus is talking to his people that have been following him, right? And he says this, if your brother or sister sins, go and point their fault just between the two of you. There's a reason that he's having to give this sermon. And it's still relevant for us today. Do you realize that? One of the hardest things that I've noticed about church and just people in general is that we have an opinion. Right? And usually that opinion's about somebody else. And who usually hears that opinion? Not that person. Everybody else does. Now, the church, we disguise this with, you know, hey, did you hear so-and-so's going through this? We should probably pray. Or did you hear that, you know, I can't believe they acted and treated me this way. You should be on my team, my side, and we need to be the righteous side. I don't feel like I'm making these things up. It happens. And there's a reason. These are Jesus' words right here that he's telling the church, listen, if you have a problem with somebody, your first inclination shouldn't be to go and share it with everybody else. That you go to the person that you have a problem with. And I want to go back to Acts really quick. I want to reemphasize some things. Before you interact with anybody that you have a problem with, pray. Pray that God softens your heart. Pray that God gives you words to speak. Pray that God is in this moment. So when you approach them, it's not one out of necessary hurt and anger, but it's out of being a brother and sister in Christ. Right? So when you approach them, it's out of love. Again, we got to look less like the world and more like what God has called us. The world, man, they come at you. If you mess with somebody, what do? They mess with you. If you're going to talk negative about somebody at your work and it gets back to them, what happens to you? It's going to come back to you, right? If you have a problem with somebody, God implores you, Jesus implores you, go to them. Let them know. Right? Now he goes on, if they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of the two or three witnesses. I've seen this happen. And when this happens, you can tell God's in the middle of it. But again, this is this moment of being smart and seeking out God's wisdom and his guidance. You don't just form a team. You form people that will be wise in these moments and have been praying just as much as you have. And go with the mindset that we're not to win this fight, but to love this person. There's a difference, right? When you come at with these two or three and like, they've done me wrong, let's go get them. It never works, church. It doesn't. When you go and go, hey, we love you. We notice this is an issue. We notice that this hurt us. And it's hurt what God has intended for us. Let me explain why. And if they don't change, guess what happens? This is painful. This is a part that I don't like reading. He says, all right, if they refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. That's harsh. That's harsh. But there has to be accountability. And I will tell you, this right here, God desires us to protect what we have. And when there's a thorn, when there's a branch that's dead and it's bringing the rest of the tree down, and they're not ready to confront what they're doing to rot everything, and they're not willing to face that, guess what has to be done? We have to do the hard thing as a church and let them go. That is not easy. But to be the neighborhood that God has called us to be, we have to look out for the whole, not just the one. But guess who takes care of the one? This is the awesome, great news. Guess who takes care of the one and leaves the 99? Jesus does. Right? He does. So there is great news for that person, but the reality is this. For us, in this moment, we've done the due diligence if we follow this, what Christ has said. Right? The problem is we skip so many steps and we're just ready to boot somebody because they did us wrong. Right? Let's revisit some things really quick. Really quick. All right? To be a healthy neighborhood, it takes what? Fellowship. Prayer. What? Breaking bread. The apostles' teaching. Those four things is who we need to become to be what God has called us to be as a neighborhood. So these are the things that I'm going to offer. I want you to be praying daily. All right? When it comes to Scripture, if you want to join with me, you download the YouVersion app. It's a Bible app. And I'll give you my information, and we can do it together. And it helps us learn God's Word together. I'll put it out there on Tuesday. All right? On our Facebook, on our website, I'll share my Bible app, and we can do the walk of God's Word together. I just don't want there to be an excuse of why not to be in God's Word. All right? So if that's an opportunity for you, take it. Also, guess what? I've said in the past, I'm not a huge participant. Like, I'm not a huge advocate for a prayer list because what I feel like it's done for us is we dump our prayers at somebody else's desk and go, okay, God, you've got this with the church to pray as a whole, and I don't have to participate in it. The reality is this, that we pray together in this, that you're not, like, released from this concern and this worry that God has put on your heart, that you are to be called to pray just as anybody else does. So I don't want to get rid of prayer lists. I'm not being that pastor, but I want us to understand there's accountability from everybody together as we walk together in this, all right? So I want to set up some steps for us to follow those four things, all right? So my desire is when we break bread for you, not to just necessarily be focused on how we sounded, not to be focused on if the sermon went over 15 minutes. I'm trying not to. It looks like I'm an hour already. Sorry. I want us to be focused on what it means to break bread together and do this remembrance of Jesus Christ. I want us, when we walk in these walls, that a movement is already started, and it's the movement in your heart because of Jesus Christ dying on that cross for you and you alone. That He's forgiven you in the sins that you've done this week. He loves you, and you're ready to go, God, thank you. I'm here to worship you. I'm here to break this bread for you and to do this in remembrance of you. I'm ready to sing my heart out because of what you've done with me. I don't care what I sound like. I don't care what my neighbor sounds like. I care because I love you. That's why I break bread. That's why I'm here. That's why we become this neighborhood that loves God. And my fourth thing that I desire out of us is to continually to reach out to each other weekly. If you notice somebody that hasn't been here for a while, it's not just my job to reach out to them. It's our job. And I implore you, we are not called to be islands in this relationship with God. If you are seeking, if you need to have a relationship that's outside your own home that will be healthy and it's God-centered, you seek it out in that you know a brother or a sister is praying for you and keeping you accountable. We've got to stop talking negative about each other. I implore you. We've got to stop putting down the church. I implore you to stop putting the church down. You know whose bride that is? If you put my bride down, we're going to have a fight. If I hear you talk negative about Michelle, that'll hurt me. I th- think every time we put the church down, it hurts Christ. That is his bride. We are his bride. And we need to acknowledge that. I don't care. You know, as long as they believe Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior, I don't care how they get there. And we shouldn't either. It should be about Jesus Christ alone. And we love that church because he is Christ's bride. The same here. When we talk negative about each other, when we blast each other, know who you're hurting. All right? So this is my call. Instead of blasting people, love on them weekly. Reach out to somebody weekly. Put that in your agenda to reach out to a random one in here and just says, hey, how can I be praying this week with you? What is God doing in your life this week? And when you get to a point and you're going, have you been reading scripture in this relationship? You can start holding each other accountable if you invest that time with them. You understand that? I can't just go up to one of you and go, hey, so have you been reading God's word? Who are you? I know you're the guy that stands up there. You have to invest the way Christ invested in you. And that's what's scary about it. Right? Stand with me. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that we become the church, the neighborhood that you've called us to be. This week, I pray that we follow the scripture of Acts 2:42. I pray that we get in your scripture. I pray that we have prayer time with you, and I pray that we fellowship with each other, and I pray that... Lord, I pray that that we know what it means to break bread with you. Lord, this week, help us become the neighborhood that you've desired us to be. Lord, if we've had a problem with somebody in these walls, I pray that we love on them, we pray about it, and that we approach them out of love, mercy, and grace. I pray that we learn what forgiveness means when we understand it and accept it from you. Lord, teach us to be your neighborhood. Amen. Church, go and be a neighbor this week.